It's Thursday night, time for the Psychic View with your hosts, Maureen Holleran, Rita Strau, Steve Frampton, and Allura. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Welcome to The Psychic View on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Rita Strau, and I would like to welcome you back to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. We continue this week with the fourth and final show in our four-part series on 2012. Tonight's show is entitled, 2012, Don't Worry, Be Happy, because as we learned in last week's fascinating interview with Anaya, there are some very good things to look forward to with the approach of 2012. But before we get started, I'd like to invite my fellow co-hosts to introduce themselves. First, let me introduce Steve Frampton.
Steve. Good evening. Wonderful to be on the show with you, Rita. I'm really excited. And for those of you who don't know me, my name is Steve Frampton. I'm a psychic medium, and I'm particularly interested in helping people understand their life purposes.
Excellent. Thank you, Steve. And let's hear it for Steve. Yay! And let's give it up now for Maureen Holleran. Maureen,
yes.
You're on, baby.
I'm on, and here I go. And as you know, my name is Maureen Holleran, and I'm an intuitive advisor with 25 years' experience as a tarologist, and I have the ability to see beyond the range of normal vision, and I'm motivated by all good intentions, and I'm well-versed in relationships, business, finance, ventures, and past life, and good old-fashioned spiritual development. There you have it.
You got that right. Woohoo! Let's give it up for Maureen. Yeah!
Yay!
Last but not least, the lovely and talented Allura.
Thank you so much, Rita. Good evening, everyone. Well, let me introduce myself. I'm clairvoyant, empathic. I'm a healer. And what I generally use as far as psychic readings are concerned is I use the Native American Sacred Path and Animal Medicine cards as a portal into other dimensions to give you any messages and answers to your questions in all areas of life that spirit and your guides wish to give you. And that in turn helps you come back into balance, into center, which empowers you. And if you're empowered, you can make favorable decisions, much better decisions in your life. So that's what I do.
That is so awesome. Thank you so much, guys. So you can see we have a very talented group of people here. I myself talk to angels and guides and provide guidance to people who need help. So tonight I'm really delighted to interview our special guest, Penny Pierce, a pioneer in the field of intuition development, who will share with us her wisdom on the dynamics of energy, personal resonance, and our accelerating ultrasensitivity as we approach 2012. Penny Pierce is an internationally respected clairvoyant empath and intuition development trainer known for her common sense approach to developing expanded human capacities, heightened perception, and spirituality. She has trained and counseled business and government leaders, scientists, psychologists, and those on a spiritual path since 1977. She's the author of The Intuitive Way and The Present Moment. And her latest book, Frequency, is awesome. To learn more about Penny's work, please visit www.pennypierce, that's PennePierce.com, for information on upcoming events and tips on developing your intuition and personal frequency skills. You know, many people have interpreted the 2012 prophecies as the end of times, the end of life as we know it. The mounting concerns are causing people all over the planet to search for answers to the questions that have been raised about shifting polarities in the Earth, acceleration of time, even the emergence of a new planet that is said to be on a collision course with Earth. These predictions, along with others, are causing widespread fear with visions of apocalyptic catastrophes. Stories like these make for great ratings and blockbuster movies, but they do not reflect the reality of our situation heading into 2012. Tonight on The Psychic View, we will talk about the realities behind the stories, taking our lead from our special guest, author and intuitive empath, Penny Pierce, who will share with us her insights about what may be coming in the immediate future. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you were unable to catch our show on 2012 Far Beyond with Anaya Barrera, Mescalero Apache Medicine Man last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Just go to the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate the archived links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible to share wisdom and understanding. So be sure to invite others to listen to the show. I'm also really excited to announce that we are now simultaneously broadcasting the show on People's TV Network. So we're going to be bringing our guest Penny Pierce on. Penny, are you there?
I am.
Yay, hi.
It's good to talk to you again.
It's so good to hear your voice. How are you?
I'm excellent.
That's great. It's such a privilege to have you with us tonight, Penny. Welcome to the Psychic View.
Thank you.
But if you don't mind, I'd like to just jump right into some questions with you.
Sure, let's go.
All right, great. Because I gave you a good build-up in the beginning, so everybody knows what you do. You are quite gifted, and I'm telling you, I haven't read anything as amazing as your book, Frequency. Like I said to you earlier, I use it all the time. It's like a guidebook for me. So if you haven't checked it out, please check out her book, Frequency.
Thank you.
Penny, your pioneering work in the field of intuition development has opened up a new awareness of personal resonance and how shifting your frequency can change fear to enthusiasm. Can you just tell us a little bit more about how this plays into the fears around 2012?
Wow. Okay, well, that is really a big, broad question. I think that maybe we have to just back off a little and see what has been going on around 2012 and why everybody's so freaked out by it. You know, I think, you know, the Mayan calendar talks about it really, truly as the end of time, but time as we know it. And I think that it's very easy for people to misinterpret that and to let that whole thing sound like it's the end of life as we know it. It's the end of life on Earth as we know it. And to go into the whole fear thinking that the left brain is so has such a tendency to do, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that there's a great misinterpretation here along these lines. And, I mean, so the first part of what I want to say about that is that I think that we're in a process of learning how to get out of the left brain as the tyrant who thinks it's running the show and into the right brain, the intuition, that sort of consciousness that connects us connects the soul, the body, and the whole sense of self into oneness. So we're making a giant shift of consciousness right now. And to make it very simple, we're shifting out of just left brain dominance into a sense of much more holistic, unified field awareness, which comes through the right brain, it comes through the heart, it comes through the cells and the whole body. You know, so this is a perceptual change. Now, that relates to 2012 in that I think that 2012 is actually talking about this shift. It's talking about the end of linear perception, the end of the idea that time is linear, you know, where we have, well, you know, often when we think about about time, people will gesture, well, the future, and they'll make their right arm go off to the right, and point to a point over there. And then the past, their left arm will go over to the left, and they'll point to a point over there. That's the past. But that's like I'm in the middle, and the past is to my left, and the future's to my right. And it's a line, right? It's a linear.
Right.
But what's happening is that we are more and more living in the present moment. Like we're being swallowed up by the present moment. Because everything's getting faster and faster and faster and faster on the planet right now. You know, and I'm sure everybody who's been on a spiritual path, even people who haven't, really know that life has been accelerating. you know, you can feel it. Things are just processing so rapidly. And cause and effect to happen faster. You think about it and it happens almost immediately now, you know. So I think what's going on now is that the present moment is becoming such a magnetic thing that we're getting sucked into it. Does this make sense, what I'm saying to you? Rita, are you there?
Yes, it does make sense.
Okay. And so then what happens then is that as our processing stays in the present moment, everything gets faster. Because, of course, in the present moment, things are instantaneous.
Right.
You know, and at that point, then, you think something, and it really can materialize or manifest almost immediately. So that long term, oh, you think of a goal, and it's off there in the future sometimes, separated from you by a lot of willpower and by a lot of work and by a lot of steps. That's over. And we're coming into a different kind of reality where things are going to function differently. And honestly, I think that's what 2012 is all about. It is, I don't know exactly what the moment of 2012 is, or if it's actually just that year, or if it's spread out over a number of years kind of surrounding that time period. Because it's kind of bizarre to think that everybody might get it all at once. I don't think that could possibly be true.
Right, you know, right. And that's what I was thinking, too, because it seems like energy started to shift, like, at least, I think maybe like 20 years ago, that things started to change.
Every year.
And they're sort of coming to a head
waves.
Now.
You know, but I think that really what 2012 is sort of the end of us thinking that time is linear. And instead, we're going to have a new model of time, which is that it is in the present moment. And now I'm going to sketch you a model of what I think it's like. It's like we're in the center of a ball, and that ball is our aura. It's spherical. And that ball is also our present moment, and it's our reality, and it's also our conscious mind. And you can expand and contract the ball like a zoom lens on a camera. So if you relax and open up and get soft, then that ball expands way out and you can have a vision of, let's say, your future. But really, it's not your future because it's in you now as a potential of your present reality. So that the future is actually not separate from you. It is a potential of who you are right now. But it's at a higher frequency of who you are right now. You know, so if you could get to a higher frequency, you'd be in that reality at this very moment. And it doesn't really take very long to get to a higher frequency anymore, you know, unless you hold the idea that it's going to take a long time. You see, so we're changing our ideas about how long things take.
That's well, you know happening. What? That makes me think of the phrase, the end of time. Because I often think of the fact that if you are truly living in the present and you're not dwelling in the past or daydreaming too much and staying in the future or hoping for the future, if you're living in the present moment, it is a timeless place because you're not affected by time in the present moment.
That's right. Right, and this has to do with, I've had a number of dreams about this whole idea of becoming transparent. And that's what we're trying to do to get to this point where if time stops or if some kind of sense of reality shifts, you won't even know that anything has changed because you'll be so much in the present moment without any old ideas or fixations or belief systems or fixed worldviews. That you'll just, it's almost like, you know, blink out and blink back again. You know, we all are blinking out and in constantly anyway because we're, you know, if you look at physics and particle-based physics, you're talking about the oscillation between the particle-based reality, which is, you know, what we call physical the world,
mm-hmm.
and the energetic wave-based reality, which is the many worlds potential, like anything's possible. That's spirit. And we constantly are rocking back and forth now between the particle-based world, the non-particle-based world, the energy world, the physical world, back and forth, back and forth. And when you let go, if you don't have any fixed ideas, you could come back as anything that is necessary. You don't have to be just what you think you are. You could be anything the collective consciousness wants you to be. But it would also be on purpose for you. You see, it's not, it's like when everything is interconnected, it works together for the good of all. There is no enemy. You know, and once we start to get this idea that we're all part of the unified field and all part of the collective consciousness, then there is no outside world. And so this is affecting our sense of reality, you see. So I think that 2012, let's getting back to the topic of the show, is that basically we are coming to this, you know, people talk about it all the time, they call it the shift, you know, the transformation, all of these things. We're coming to this point where we are literally changing out of an older reality that is linear into one that is totally in the present moment, and it's based on integrated, unified field consciousness. And the rules of reality will shift. In other words, things will happen very fast. Things will be easier. There will be a lot of flow. There won't be as much fear. And things will start to just be synchro mesh.
Right. Well, that brings up a good point.
On the way there,
when you talk about
on the way,
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say, on the way there, there's a whole process of transformation that's underway right now that we're in the middle of.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of symptoms to that, and I've sketched that out in my book, you know, in Frequency. You know, I've just kind of reduced it simplistically to 9 stages.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do go through these stages, and sometimes we kind of oscillate back and forth through the stages of releasing the fear and, you know, emptying out and then kind of filling back up again from the soul rather than from the old subconscious mind, if that makes sense.
That makes so much sense. I think that's what happens when you start down a path of spiritual development. You do start to work through these things that are, they're fear-based. You know, you have fear-based beliefs. And I've noticed that even with myself, as I move through one phase, I might go back, but I don't go back as far. And each time I come up a little higher, I don't go back. You know, you oscillate back and forth, but all the while you're still on a steady upward incline in your vibration, in your resonance.
Yeah.
So it is like a constant progression towards a higher level of consciousness.
That's right.
But Penny, how does fear, like how does our group, you know, the whole world is experiencing all kinds of fears right now with the economy and the natural disasters. How is that affecting us all as a group consciousness?
Well, you know, I think it's a natural part of the process of clearing. And in order for us to remember who we really are and to get back to the level of energy that we actually are, which is, you know, incredibly high, so different from what we know ourselves as today, we have to get rid of everything that's in the way. And those are fear beliefs, basically. Those are ideas about, you know, that something can be more powerful than we are, that something's outside of us that can work against us, that we have to protect ourselves and control our reality and use willpower and, you know, all this force.
Right.
But when you start merging with everything, you realize that it's not necessary. And that what we are is already in us, that all we have to do is remember it. It's not like something outside of us that we have to go get, like a goal. It's already there. You know, so it's easy. It's you know, natural. It's not such a strain. And, you know, I think a lot of what's going on today, it's with, at least I find with my work, is trying to show people that it's not that difficult.
You know, right.
Things are not so hard and not that scary. And that, you know, we've already got the answers inside of us and we can get there. But I think that that as we come to this, you know, maybe we've ceded the idea of 2012 to ourselves just so that we would put pressure on ourselves so we would change, you know,
wow.
like a false pressure, so that we could make sure we accelerated enough. Because without any sort of marker point or measuring point, nobody will do anything, right? Without a deadline.
Wow.
That's
you know
the way we work.
I have never heard that before. And Penny, when you said that, something in me just lit right up, like you hit the nail right on the head, that we did, in fact, at some point in our ancestors or somewhere along the lines, set a point in place for us to awaken, to be spurred on to action. Like you said, nothing gets done without a deadline. And it's true. Everybody's talking about this, and that's what's causing us to have awareness of it. Once you have the awareness, you have opinions and you have, you know, people just bringing in all kinds of great energies and sharing their talents and abilities. That's a great point. I never even thought of it that way, but it makes so much sense.
Yeah, and I think that there is a kind of natural culmination of evolution that we are experiencing, because there's no arguing with the fact that the energy is intensifying. You know, and I try to track what's going on with the energy and under the surface and write about it. Like I try to write every 6 months, I write a letter and put it on my website about what I think is going on. And, you know, but I think that I'm not scared about 2012. I don't think it's a frightening thing. I think that we're headed naturally toward ourselves, that there is nothing scary about transformation, that it's like a huge relief. It's
right.
not, you know, dramatic in the way that Hollywood would like us to believe to sell movies. It's more of a sense of, oh my God, this is who I really am. Oh, thank you. You know, I remember this. This is fabulous. And the heart opens, and you realize that everybody else is your best friend, really, and that they've been wearing masks or something, and they're taking their masks off, you know? And so I feel like things are going to become so much simpler, whereas right now it seems like they're so complex.
And do you think that, I was going to ask you, do you think that the internet itself is aiding in this? Because I have a feeling that now that we're all connected through the internet, that there's more of a sense of a global awareness. Do you think that that's aiding us in this journey, like, to the next level?
Yes, I really do. I feel like it's easier to feel almost like family. Like Facebook is an amazing phenomenon, I think, you know, that you could feel fairly easily connected without a lot of that getting to know you stuff with people and share about things that are really real. And for whatever age group you're in, you know, different stuff for different folks, but that it's instantaneous again, you know. But at the same time, I think there's another factor at work here where a lot of it kind of fragments us. Like, it's a possible distraction to be going on Facebook constantly. And I was reading something about how certain age groups are sleeping with their cell phones, and then young women especially are checking Facebook in the middle of the night while they're sleeping with their cell phones. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is bizarre.
It is bizarre.
But it's like there is a tendency to have your mind so distracted by needing to stay connected with the outside world and this, what all your friends are doing or what's going on out there, that you stop feeling what's happening inside your own body. And I'm a huge advocate of, you know, coming down into the body right now and developing the power of intuition and body, you know, reading your body sensitivities, deciphering the kind of energy information that we're getting right now through vibration and through telepathy. But if you're on your cell phone and texting constantly, you can't feel what's going on in your body. So I you know, in a, it's pro and con, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit more about energy and vibration? So you just mentioned it in what you were saying about, you know, not being focused on your body enough to feel these changes. Can you just elaborate that, on that a little bit more? Because I don't know if a lot of our listeners are familiar with that understanding of frequency and resonance.
Well, part of what I think is building up again toward 2012, or sometimes I get that it's more like 2020 when things are really going to happen, but that the intensification of energies coming into the planet right now are actually raising the vibration of the planet, of the physical plane, which also means it's raising the vibration of our bodies because they're physical, which then means that we get kind of agitated. It's running faster or hotter or more electrically, you know, than we're used to. And we get buzzy. And then a lot of the subconscious fears that used to be able to be suppressed and ignored can no longer be suppressed because that level of vibration is too low. It doesn't have a place to hide anymore. You know, so those fears that we could, like sexual abuse or scandals or whatever, you know, there are no more secrets like that because those things are popping up to the surface, coming into the conscious mind, and, you know, showing up everywhere. And we can't, you know, ignore it. And so that means, like, everybody's subconscious stuff is popping up. Not only your own, but everybody's. Not only yours and your families and your friends, but the stuff in Washington, D.C., and in the, you know, governments of countries all over the world. So the current events becomes the conscious mind of the world. And it's flooded right now with a lot of the fear, beliefs, and ideas, and, you know, things that we would like to avoid. And it's very confusing because when you pay attention to that, you go into fear versus when you pay attention to your own home frequency or your soul's vibration in your body, it's, or the open-hearted feeling that you have when you love the way you are, you know, there's a big difference there. So I think it's very important right now that we become conscious that we're living in a kind of cesspool at this point, you know, floating around in a bunch of garbage. And we have to start taking our cues from inside our bodies, from our own home frequency, which is our love, our joy, our creativity, you know, all the ways we love to feel about ourselves. When you like yourself the very best, you know. And remember that feeling tone. It's like a tuning fork, you know. You strike that tone, and you return to that feeling. You know, you reintroduce the memory of that feeling state into your body, and then you go back to it so that you don't match or frequency match fear and low vibrations and negative vibrations that are in the world. This is the main work that's up for us right now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that it's important for people to understand that it's coming to understand who you really are. Like the authenticity, I keep getting that in my own communications, is that people are kind of being forced now to really acknowledge who they really are and be who they are. Like if you really cannot stand wearing a business suit every single day and going to business meetings, you shouldn't be there. You need to honor the artist in you, or whatever's true to you. Is that sort of resonating at your home frequency?
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. That's a huge part of it. But also it is that we recognize that we are, you know, in a certain way, we are tribal. And we do match energies with other people so we can have a kind of common ground. But it's not a good thing to match a lower frequency energy, you know, so that it's actually of service to others when you hold your own vibration and choose to feel good or choose to feel the way you love to feel. And don't commiserate with others. Don't go down to their level let them come up to yours instead. You know, be a thought leader, be a vibration leader. You know, it's not good to sacrifice yourself anymore. I think that's, you know, if you sacrifice yourself, what is that saying? That's saying that you're not going to let the soul flow through you. You're going to either postpone it or you're not going to do it for some reason or other. And then that means that other people who could have used what would have come through you can't have it. So you're not serving anybody. You know, not yourself, not anyone else. And I think that's a big thing that has to be overcome right now, is this whole glorification of self-sacrifice. You know.
That's amazing. That's another point. See, you keep raising these points that I've never heard before. The glorification of self-sacrifice. I know so many people who just, you know, they drag themselves through their day, every day, as like a victim or a martyr. And you're right. I was doing that myself for many years. And you start to wonder, is this really what life is all about? And then when you begin to express who you really are and share your natural talents and gifts with people, you see it ripple out and other people feel that energy and respond to it, and you're lifting other people up. So you're right. You're right again. That's an amazing way to look at it, Penny.
Well, you know, it's just a symptom of the new reality coming in. And in my book, I talk about it as the intuition age as opposed to the information age or the industrial age, which was before that, where right now we're making that shift into a new reality. Literally, that's the transformation into a reality where everything's based on energy, spirit, consciousness, and the unified field versus separation, isolation, linear thinking, you know, and all that old mechanical thinking, cause and effect thinking. And so if you're all unified and everybody can feel everything that you feel, or that everything you do affects what other people can do, let's say, then you realize that to sacrifice yourself isn't helpful to anyone. But in the old realities where we were all isolated from each other, you could see how self-sacrifice came to be valued, you know, because it fit with that reality. It's just that it no longer fits with the new reality. And a lot of things are going to change that way. A lot of our core values and cultural values will shift because they don't fit with the new paradigm. You know, and I think that's fascinating to start to re-examine our own reality and how it could be totally different. And, of course, the new reality is going to be so much more joyful. You know, also, you know, so much more synchronous and a sense of people helping you. You don't have to do everything alone. You can't be alone. You're interconnected with everything.
That's kind of the sense that I get, too, is that it feels to me like I'm coming to the realization anyway that we are not meant to operate as independent people. Like, even if you look at what's happening with, say, housing, right? Many people are losing their homes. They're kind of coming back together again and in a cooperative manner, helping each other out. Even the rise in like homesteading and wanting to live in smaller communities, raise your own food, be more connected to the earth. All of these trends I see as a coming together of the unification of people really beginning to get back to that spirit of living together. And again, it's like a tribe, but to me it seems like it's a unifying trend that's
absolutely
coming out of these energies.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there are different stages of growth, and there are some people who've been so wounded that they don't even know they have a self. And then those people are starting to get a self by almost like demanding the attention. And so you see the reality TV shows and a lot of the kind of ego stuff going on with people going, I want my 5 minutes of fame, you know. But that's a natural stage in spiritual growth, where people are starting to feel that they actually are somebody and that they're good. You know, and so I understand that. It's wonderful. But then as you move through that and you realize, okay, I am somebody, now what? Then you go toward, you know, that I want to become more. I want to love other people. I want to find my connection to others. And it's not through cutting them down and being sarcastic and, you know, mean. It's through contributing something to the world. And so you're starting to see a lot more of this happening now, too. And I think that people who've been on a spiritual path for quite a while are now getting into the point where they each see themselves as, I want to say, thought leaders. You know, it's like if you have felt like a misfit all your life, well, there's a good reason, because you are supposed to be a leader. Leaders cannot be seen unless they stand out from the crowd. You know, and people don't understand that until, you know, you realize that you have some original thought and that it's important for you to take hold of that and express it. You know, and people are doing that now, I think. They're starting to, anyway, and that's good.
I totally agree. I think that many of the people that I've met since I've been involved in this kind of work were people who felt different, they felt, you know, weird, or just in some way or another, you know, out of the ordinary. And I myself have always been attracted to those people who are a little weird, I have to admit, a little strange, a little mm-hmm. different, because I see them as being something unique and creative. And that's what I think that getting back to the authenticity of the person is all about, because I think that there is some kind of like a master plan, and without really knowing, the gifts that you've been given are intended to help others in their own journey and vice versa. So it's all like connected in a way that it's almost like a tapestry. And if you don't express who you are and don't offer your gifts to the world, like you said earlier, it's sort of, you're not helping. You know, nobody's going to benefit from the gifts that you've been given if you are operating out of a sense of fear or the sense of martyrdom and being self-sacricing. You're not really
Absolutely.
Helping anybody.
So, you're so right on that, you know, and I think that people think they have to have some great, fabulous gift or something, but really it's just sharing your own energy and the way you love and the way you think and your take on things. You know, you could start with that. I liken it to the idea of pulling a piece of yarn out through a spindle, you know, where before it goes into the spindle, there's all these separate threads. And then somehow this magic of the spindle weaves it all together and you pull out the yarn as a single piece on the other end. But you got to start pulling it in order to get all the pieces to weave together. And if you do, it keeps coming and coming and coming and coming, you know. And so we have got to use what we've been given, start with where we are, not try to be perfect first, but just give what we can give right now. And then that'll grow, and it'll get more sophisticated, and it'll expand. But you can't just wait until something's perfect, you know, for later on. It has to be now, because everything's in the now, you know. And, you know, so I think that there's a couple things going on. One is, let me see if I can explain this. In the transformation process, the old paradigm or the old way of thinking, which is, like I said before, linear, and it's about separation. And if you feel separate from the world, you feel like you need to control the world. If fear is running your world, then you have to develop power and control. And if you look out at the corporate realm these days and politics these days, you'll see that all of the old power structures, the patriarchy, those people who have had money and power in the old way of doing things are in their death throes. They are fighting tooth and nail to keep that system going when actually the world is evolving beyond it. And they are not going to keep it going very much longer. They're going to wear themselves out because they can't fight evolution. So I think that we're going to see, you know, right now we're probably in part of the, you know, that death throw process where things get violent right before they, you know, they die, or the struggle gets so intense right before the surrender. And the surrender leads into the transformation. where everything suddenly gets reborn in a better shape. But all these old forms, they don't want to let go. It's ego death, you know?
Oh, I absolutely understand that, Penny. We do have to take a very quick break. If you can just hang in there with us, we'll be right back in just a minute.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay, we're back on Psychic Access and Psychic Access Talk Radio. Thank you for joining us tonight. Our guest is Penny Pierce. Penny, welcome back.
Thanks.
Oh, this has been a great discussion, and I think that all of the points that you're making are everything that we've all really started to feel intuitively. But I wonder sometimes, do we really have to wait for the entire world to reach a new level of frequency, or are people individually going to just begin to experience this new level of consciousness?
Yes, I think people are individually are going to experience a new level of consciousness, and you might call that even enlightenment. But I don't think they're just going to poof and disappear off the physical plane. I think they're going to stay here and share from their enlightened point of view of being fully human and very loving with each other and help open the hearts of others. And I think it will, you know, when a certain critical mass is achieved, and it's just of ordinary people, it's not masters and saints, it's regular, it's us, you know, everyday people, that it's going to build a kind of a crescendo, and there will be a shift of, and I'm not sure exactly what that's going to feel like, but it feels to me like, you know, I've had dreams about this, where I see that there's a kind of a bifurcation of the planet, where it's almost like, you know, how particles in physics, they blink in, and they show up, and then they blink out, and they disappear, and become energy again, then they come back, and they blink in, and blink back out again. And we're, of course, doing this all the time, constantly. Our particles inside our bodies are blinking in and out constantly, and we just keep showing up in some sort of continuity. But I almost feel like there will be a sense that there will be a large blinking out, and it may last a fraction of a millisecond. I mean, very little time, actually. And during that time, there will be a sense of something shifting dramatically in the other world, so that when we blink back in, we'll be of a different frequency. In other words, that our bodies will be much more based on light, based on energy. But we won't really know that anything has changed, that the whole world will certainly seem like a light world, and we'll still feel like we're in the world the way we've always been. But there will be other people who will not have been able to make that sudden change of energy level, and they won't blink back into the same planet that we're on. They'll blink back into another planet that matches their level of energy. So in our world, it might seem like some people die, but in their world, it might seem like some people die. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, we're still here.
Like, in other words, there'd be like two realities,
parallel planets.
Two planets simultaneously existing.
Yeah.
Wow.
And nobody's lost. Nobody's gone. We're just at different frequencies. Just like we and our, like, dead parents or grandparents are now. You know, I still talk to my dad. He's on the other side, but I talk to him all the time, you know, and just change my frequency and I talk to him. And we can do that with anybody.
I do that too. Thank you for mentioning that. I'm Alora, sorry.
Oh, hi.
No, go ahead. Ask. If you guys have questions, just jump in. We have about 10 minutes left, Penny. So,
Do any of the co-hosts
listening, do you guys have any questions for Penny?
I had a number before, and I forgot what they were, but you're saying a lot of things that hit on what I've been getting as well, Penny. And one of the things I just spoke to, as you just said, I spoke to a friend tonight about just exactly what you just said, because I also speak to my grandparents who have passed on,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, other people. And so I'm finding that they're just, they may not be here, but they're somewhere. And
yeah, they're here. As soon as you think of them, they think of you. And then if you can shift your energy level a little bit, you know, and they shift theirs a little bit, you could probably even meet, you know, at a little higher level or their lower level. And
yeah, that's an interesting, I've never heard of anybody actually talk about that except you and myself, you know, other than me. And that's really neat because we talk about talking to guides, we talk about talking to angels. We really don't talk about actually having conversations with, real conversations with people that we've known who have shifted, you know, into other dimensions, and because we don't think about it, we're not taught to do that, and I find that I do that.
We're going to start having actual meetings, like in conference rooms, with non-physical beings who have technologies for us, and we're going to go into these rooms and have a group mind, you know, established, and then we're going to be receiving telepathically all kinds of knowledge that will relate to new inventions here on Earth. And I see that happening fairly soon. That,
oh, wow.
You know, we're going to have a kind of a download from the next higher level above us as we start to understand that we're all energy and that we can shift our frequency levels quite easily. And as soon as we get that, we're going to be able to shift up and access lots more information. And then I've been seeing quite a bit of the next wave as being about innovation, you know, so that some of the, you know, like I was saying before the break, that a lot of things are going to fail. Old systems are falling apart. They're not going to be able to continue. But at the very same time as the old things seem to be, you know, falling apart, new things are going to spring up through the cracks. And we're going to have probably the solutions to really chronic world problems, you know, like energy and cancer and AIDS and healthcare stuff and, you know, things that have been plaguing our economies will be solved.
What about aging? Can we rejuvenate?
Aging, yeah, I think so. I think that we're going to find that as we feel like we're energy and we understand about creating the vibration we'd like to live in, that the body will just shape itself much more to that level. You know,
very
and
good.
That we're very fluid, that we're just building ourselves off an old blueprint that really doesn't fit for this time period anymore. You know,
I have a question. What about things like these age-old conflicts between nations like Palestine and Israel? What do you see for that?
Okay, just a minute. You know, what I get is that there are certain belief systems about control and about righteousness and being right that are reflected in a lot of these enemies. In other words, the people who are fighting each other are the same in the way they think about having to be right in their religious beliefs or their political beliefs or whatever. And so those people will be drawn into wars with each other because they don't really get it yet that they're the same. You know, they don't get that their ancestry probably comes from the same group of beings
Right.
You know? And I mean, and that's just like when they really get that we come from the same people, that our ancestors are the same people, that fighting each other is so unbelievably ridiculous. You know, things will change. But right now, I think that a lot of people who have this need to control, whether it's, you know, in business, in religion, or wherever, they're going to destroy each other. The people who are not involved in that kind of thing will not be destroyed. I think that, you know, if you don't engage in that vibration, you won't be in that vibration. That won't be your reality. You know,
so that
I could
was...
see a war in the Middle East happening that's localized, that somehow can be contained. I don't see it affecting the whole world. But I do see other things happening, like famine and drought and a need for countries to start cooperating in terms of moving food and water around the world, because no one country alone will be able to keep their people alive. So there will be various situations, I think, occurring where we will have to become global and rely on each other as for help. You know, that will help cause a global consciousness. And it may be, and I've seen this a number of times, that the internet's going to go down, for at least for a brief period.
Oh no, not the internet.
the world would just turn, would be just so chaotic if the internet went down. I wanted to ask you, you're absolutely fascinating. My name's Steve, by the way. I'm one of the co-hosts, and I'm so fascinated by everything you're saying. I wanted to ask you as well about satellites, because as I've researched 2012, there's quite a lot of discussion about potentially our satellite network being taken out for a period of time, and that being, you know, really troublesome because everything's run off our satellite systems.
That's right. I think that's a high probability. It fits in with the kind of thing I've been seeing, which is that, you know, we have to, wherever we've been outside of ourselves or dependent on external systems and distracted, we have to get back in our bodies. We have to, you know, feel what's actually essential. Without really, you know, my guidance. Let me see if I can find this one section in the thing I wrote this year. One of the pieces of guidance I got said to simplify without feeling deprivation. It said simplify your life, dissolve false needs, strengthen your body. Simplify your diet and eat less. Drink good water. Be ready for periods where you will do without and yet not suffer in any way. Consciously receive energy and trust it to nurture you in every way. Visualize breathing pure oxygen. Energy will direct your attention and your self-expression. You will not call it hard times. Be aware of who really needs what. Help the flow move where it's needed. Experience the fullness of what you already have. So, you know, I don't think it's, you know, panicking is just not where it's at. You understand? It's like, in each moment, do what's needed. And don't get all weird. And just, you know, be practical. Ask yourself, okay, now what? You know?
Penny, I hear you. And you know what? It's such a shame that we're actually out of time. We need to wrap up. But I wanted to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
It was amazing. And,
my pleasure. If you
I know that well, we all learned so much, and we really appreciate you sharing your wisdom for a bright future, really, one that's filled with love and evolution.
Yeah,
so,
well,
thank
I think
you so
there's
much.
No need to fear evolution. You know, there's no need to fear change, because what we're doing is just coming back to ourselves.
Exactly. Well, we do have to go, but Penny, thank you so much for being with us. And
thanks, Rita.
We'll definitely talk soon, okay?
Okay, very good.
Thank you so much. Many blessings to you, Penny.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. You can
thanks,
find...
Penny.
Thank you. You can find Penny Pierce's information on our guests page at Psychic Access Talk Radio. And we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor, so stay tuned, psychicaccess.com.
Hello, my name is Rez Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.
I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. Unfortunately, I'll be leaving Psychic View Radio Show to devote more time to my fledgling cleaning business, but I want you to know what a great pleasure it's been to work alongside my co-hosts, Steve, Maureen, and Alora, as well as our technically talented and charming producer, Doug. I will be back on for one more show next week, but in the future, please be sure to visit me on psychicaccess.com and chat with me, as you know I love talking with you and helping you with your questions. Join us on November 4th, when the lovely and talented Maureen hosts our show about psychokinesis and telekinesis. Awesome topics, which I'm very excited to learn about. You won't want to miss this fascinating topic discussion. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working for Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards. I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site with high standards and integrity, so my reputation is safe. You'll find all of the co-hosts here on the Psychic View work on Psychic Access, and if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute. That's right, 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit http://psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Now, we're going to be getting ready to take readings a little later after our discussion, and the call-in number for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. Now, I'd like to just start a discussion with our co-hosts. Maureen, my lovely and talented co-host.
You're so sweet.
Aw. Now, after hearing everything that Penny talked about, do you have any worries at all about the date that we've been talking about for the last month?
Well, you know, she brought up something that I just wanted to touch on. I think I heard her say this. I don't have any worries. I think the 2012 phenomena comes from the media and other people making use of the Mayan past to carry out their own agendas that are really their own. And, you know, it's really to label December 21st, 2012 as a doomsday or moment of cosmic shifting is a complete fabrication and a chance for a lot of people to cash in. I myself am not cashing in on that. So,
cool. You know. You're not buying into it.
I don't buy into things very easily, but I really think it's kind of sad. But on the other hand, my only worry is that we're going to be in awe, and we don't know. We won't know. It's not a worry. I'm making a negative into a positive type of thing. But I think there's so much hype. It's all because of media. It's a lot of this has gone on before with other things.
Yeah. I totally hear you there. Well, Steve, what do you think are going to be the triggers that will help us to move forward?
Well, I think that one of them is actually the economy. You know, we're experiencing a huge global economic downturn, and I think that that's forcing many people to really reconsider their circumstances. You know, I speak to so many people that are really thinking long and hard about their life purpose, what they want to make their lives about. And it just seems to me that, you know, the economic situation is making people really think long and hard about what they want their futures to be about. And it, going through that process is just causing so many people to make decisions about their future. So, you know, many people who are out of work who are tired of their work are making different choices and committing themselves to spiritual work, to helping other people, teaching and nursing, etc. It's just a really exciting time, and I believe that that's all part and parcel of us waking up and really realizing that we're all part of the same thing, and that we really do have a responsibility to help each other and to behave more responsibly. I think as well that one of the other triggers is the shortage of resources. You know, we've got issues with oil and so many different natural resources, and you know, people are really starting to realize that we can't continue to abuse the planet the way we do. So there's just so much happening at the moment, but I feel as though that all of these events are pushing us forward and making us really think about the future that we want to create. And this is just a really critical but very exciting time.
I totally agree with you, Steve. I think that even after listening to what Penny had to say, is that you know, there's kind of a hopeful anticipation that we can actually use our creative powers to create, you know, a beautiful new world for everyone. I believe that's possible. Now, the Earth's going through a lot of changes as well. And, Alora, I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what you feel is happening with the Earth and some of the natural events that have occurred.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've been listening to the news, but did you hear about the earthquake and the tsunami that hit Indonesia earlier this week?
Yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, I've kind of, you know, taken note of all those things, and it's just part of the natural course of events where Earth is cleansing herself. Remember when we spoke to, or when Steve spoke with Anaya last week, when Anaya was talking about how the Earth changes are happening because of the way we've treated the Earth. The Earth is an actual living being. The way we've handled, the way we've treated our environment, the footprint that we leave, and those sorts of things. And just like we need to detox, if we're not in balance or we have toxic waste, the Earth has to do the same thing. So these current events, these natural disasters that are happening, are just natural in terms of the Earth detoxifying, basically, and resetting, rebalancing herself, and recreating for a better future. So we're in the midst of doing that now, and all of these events are testament to that. The economy, the natural disasters, and things of that nature are all testament to the fact that we're going through a detox, a reset, rebalance, and in order to recreate a better future. Because in order for us to have a really good foundation, the old foundation has to break down, especially if it's not built on really good material or material that will really do us any good for the next step that we have to take on. So we're going to be recreating, and in order to do that, we have to break down the old to bring in the new. So these aren't an indication of the end of the world. It's just a natural course of events. It's a healing crisis. That's how things happen in order to regenerate. So they're an indication that we're regenerating to a new and better world that's in the process of becoming, as Penny mentioned, and as Anaya mentioned, and as I see as well. So many of us see that.
Yeah, and it's interesting because part of what Penny talked about was, you know, this when this shift or whatever you want to call it happens, some people in this blink out where we all kind of blink, she was talking about blinking in and blinking out, that which I thought was kind of cool. There's going to be this like moment where some people, when they blink back in, will kind of be in a new dimension, and others will be in another dimension. And it would cause some people to see other people dying. And I always kind of connected some of these earth events with things like earthquakes in California. Maureen, you live in California. It's been known for all these, you know, years about people talked about it falling into the sea. Does that concern you at all?
No, you know, this is the thing. Yeah, I do. Yes, I do live in California. In fact, I live 4 miles from Mexico. So even right now, I'm getting a lot of the earthquakes that are going on. Wow. the present day. But I wanted to say something about this again. This has to do with people getting really freaked out about what's happening. Because in 1988, I just want to tell the story, because California has been known, of course, that it, for many, many years, for millions of years, well, since I've been around, that we're going to fall into the sea, and Vegas would be the, what would it be, the waterfront property.
The new coastline, right?
It would be the waterfront property.
Yeah,
and you know, I was born in Vegas, so maybe it's all full circle there. I'll go. But anyway, earthquakes, you know, so they've been afraid. So I want to share a little story. In 1988, this is again about, I'm focusing on back to, not don't be afraid, because in 1988, a lot of people who weren't in California may not really know about this, but it was known as the California End at that time. And I lived there here forever. And on May 10th, 1988, a mini crisis, which was pretty intense, in California occurred when a documentary hosted by Orson Welles, The Man Who Saw Tomorrow, people may remember that, predicted a terrible earthquake for that year. So reportedly, so many celebrities left town of, you know, L.A. and everything, that good tables at Hollywood restaurants could all be secured at that time. Honestly.
That's awesome.
it was really intense. And the thing of it is, you know, I feel that we have been in this. It's not like we're just in this right now and then boom, 2012 comes. We've been going into this since the 60s, I feel. There's a lot of changes that happened with the 60s, as we all know that, you know, if I'm dating myself, it's my age. But, you know, it was a really interesting time, and there was a lot of changes from the 50s into the 60s. I think this has been a progress of going from the 60s all the way through up until now. We've been in pretty of a dark place. But the darkness is I don't think we're just going to wake it up, you know, in 2 years. I think we're already gradually heading that way. We doing the baby steps that we've been doing, really, and going back a little bit. Yeah,
so. I think you're right. That's pretty cool. Hey, Steve.
Yes.
You're like my link to the business world, economy, finance. You just seem to know a lot about these topics. So what's your bead on how the economic downturn is going to affect, what's it got to do with 2012?
Well, I kind of spoke about this before, Rita, and I kind of repeated myself with the planning. But, you know, I'm glad that we did, because I wanted to say something that I didn't mention before about the economy. I was speaking with a really wonderful friend of mine, a guy called Adam in the UK. He lives in North Wales. And we were talking about the economy, and he said to me, oh, can you, you know, he was looking at the stock market, and he just said to me, you know, Steve, it's almost as though the stock market's an entity in its own right. It has a character, and it has moods, and, you know, it fluctuates, and we just continued to talk about the stock market, and I just said to him, wow, you know, what you said has just blown me away, because it's so true. It is like an entity. And, you know, if you think about what our spiritual discussions and our conversations about the fact that energetically, spiritually, we're all connected, then the stock market absolutely is part of us, because all energy is interconnected. And I believe that we've created collectively the economic downturn. I believe that we've done it because we're tired, and we want to really create a huge shift. And so I believe that it's absolutely part and parcel of the change that we're collectively creating.
That's really funny you say that, because, you know, I've started this cleaning business, and my sister-in-law had called me up and got me all fired up about it. She was like, what are you doing with this business? I'm like, no. I had been on the fence for so long of what to do. She got me so psyched up, and she said, you know what, Rita? She said she sees it as its own, like it has a life of its own. And I never thought of a business as having a life of its own, but it's like a creation. And so, like any creation, it does, I'm starting to view it now like I view the cells in my body, like an individual that needs attention, that needs love. And as soon as I gave it that intention and that thought, boom, it just blasted. So I'm like, what you just said makes so much sense. It's like the stock market is kind of that little nerve, the nerves of the body. And it's each individual business is like a little cell in that body of the economy. It's It's amazing how it is all kind of connected, isn't it?
It really is. It's mind-blowing. Sorry, Laura. No, go ahead.
That's okay. Well, I wanted to join in because I also wanted to say that I'm finding the same way. I'm also suddenly getting a much more clear perspective on everything being alive. That's basically what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when you have it, and when you have that perspective that things are alive, you just give it, you have a certain, I don't know, it just seems to engage more of your being and a certain type of energy from you that gives it more credence in some way that you are connected with it. And I just want to share that with you because I'm also starting to see the, quote, things, unquote, that we see as just things that are there and not really alive as being alive.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that. You know what? I just finished reading this book by this Buddhist monk. I know I'm going to butcher his name. It's like Thich Nhat Hanh, or he goes by Thay. He wrote a ton of books, but one of them is called No Death, No Fear. And it's that same concept. He says, as you hold this book and hold this piece of this page in your fingers, you're holding the clouds, the rain, the trees, like everything that went into making this piece of paper be here. It's alive. It's a continuation of some other life. So each object that you hold is a continuation of its component parts and its different sources. Isn't that mind-blowing?
Yes.
It's fascinating. It reminds me of what Anaya said last week about, you know, Anaya would just said some incredible things as well, and when he said, you know, you can listen to a stone or to a fire, a tree, and ask for insight and receive that insight. I was just, you know, he mentioned the clouds as well, and it's just incredible. And I think, you know, I often think to myself, you know, how we behave other people is really important, because as we are all part of one thing, how we treat each other affects everybody. So if I treat one person badly, then that energy sort of has a knock-on effect that can impact even the economy and the planet, everything. So
that's,
you know,
true.
Just as you talk of the paper, as we discard a piece of paper, we should see it in a sense as in the same way as we consider how our energy affects other people. If we're all part and parcel of one system, one energy, then even how we treat paper and resources is absolutely critical.
Yeah.
It's amazing, you know, when you think about it.
you know, I'd like to add something that's interesting I just thought about. In the 1964, my father was president of Southwest Gas Company. That's when they were still doing coal for their energy in Nevada. Mm-hmm. And he switched it to the gas. So all in Nevada, my father was, because he goes, why don't we do gas? It's natural. It's almost like it started at that time. And now my father is 84. He still does business. He's does big business deals, and he's now involved in the, turbines, windmills. It's interesting because our elders see what's even happening now is because of people growing older with the economy. You're talking about the business or the corporate people looking at a better way to make use. It's all coming, almost like coming back circling, because we kind of got out of it. We got in between the 70s and the 80s and the 90s, the greed and all that. And now it's coming back even from the elders, like my father. And it's coming back because some of us are getting older. The baby boomers are now older, that we're helping out more about what can we do to help people that are needing access to being handicapped. Are we going to start making things more accessible, or, you know, being kinder? Just
right.
And our businesses and corporations are doing this. So that's a really lovely thing.
It is. Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry, Rita. I was just going to say, Maureen, you know, there are people like your father, I think, in the business world who realize that these are the right things to do. So creating sources of energy that don't cause any harm, that don't cause a scar on the earth, as Anaya said last week, this is important. And there are business people that do realize that. There are a lot of business people, I think, that are going down that route because of PR and because of the media. And I hope that, you know, everybody in the business world starts to realize that these are the right things to do, not just because these are things that we feel pressured to do. Because, you know, if we all go down that route, we really can change the world and make it a wonderful place and deal with the problems. You know, Penny mentioned we have an opportunity to fix some of the world's greatest problems, you know, hunger and sickness. It's a fantastic time.
Yeah
absolutely. And if we can all think like your father thinks about business, you know, the right solutions that are right for the planet, right for people, then, you know, we really can turn things around, and this can be a really exciting turning point for us.
Well, just like it was in the 60s, as I was saying, it's been going on from everything kind of comes around circle. But the elderly corporate people, my father, for instance, he plays another part. Now, it's funny, after all those years, because in between that time, that wasn't the case. He did do some changes, boy, in the 60s with the changing from coal to gas. That was better. But now, it's funny, at 80-something, he's involved in the windmills, you know.
Well, you know, and what's cool, too, is I was thinking that, like, if some of the old structures, like, I'm thinking of petroleum-based sources of energy for vehicles, for transport gas, you know, at some point, it's not going to be really viable anymore because they have to go to more and more deeper and more dangerous locations to get the oil. But, you know, if we can somehow allow these things to crumble, it's almost like people want to cling to what they know,
yes,
even though they know it's not good anymore. And I don't know how humanity is going to get past that point where, because this is a huge infrastructure of gas stations, the whole line. You know, if you get rid of gas-powered cars, you know, Napa Auto Parts is going to have to change. Everything's going to have to change. All the downline products and services that are connected to a gas-powered vehicle. It seems like, you know, so vast. I don't know how I can comprehend the change.
You know what? You know how they can do it? In South Africa, they had to go through huge, huge, huge changes politically. And, I mean, it affected the entire country on many different levels. And what I noticed is, when the change was coming and it was evident, there were people who had the forethought to begin to start to change processes ahead of time slowly, mm-hmm, or a little more slowly, so that things could be adjusted through time. And that's what we could do. And we could really start adjusting things knowing that this change is coming rather than fight it. And the other thing, you know, and just slowly work together to make these changes instead of having to do it on a crisis basis, you know, so it doesn't reach some sort of critical situation first. And we really could be doing that as long as we flowed with the change, knowing that the changes are necessary and did it willingly, we wouldn't have to suffer.
Right.
Because we wouldn't wait until a crisis occurred. The other thing I noticed that Penny was talking about, she was talking about the people who are clinging, like you're talking about, or who don't feel connected, who feel the need to control.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to share with you is I also noticed that there are different periods in time where I've noticed that people kind of polarized and started choosing. She called it control versus enlightenment. I guess you could call it. I called it kind of a path of light versus darkness, which doesn't mean evil necessarily. It could mean ignorance, fear, you know, all the kind of emotions that aren't in light. And I'm noticing that right now I'm seeing that quite a bit in quite a number of people, including my family members. This is another period, like right now, I'm talking October 2010.
Uh-huh.
So people, people may be finding that at the present moment that they may see people kind of change.
Yeah.
You know, character or seem to act differently or whatever. And that's what
Laura,
I'm noticing.
What you've just said is just incredible, because I was thinking along similar lines, and I was going to actually ask you guys a question, because I feel as though my energy is changing in the sense that I feel, you know, I want to slow down in life. I've traveled a lot, and I have this huge desire at this point in time to be still, so to slow down, be more respectful towards my body, get more sleep, take the time to make really healthy food, not travel so much, not use my car so much. And it's just really fascinating that you alluded to that, because I feel as though my energy is changing, and I think that so many of us are feeling that change and wanting to just live a slightly different life
with
different values.
I know that's what happened to me. I mean, I had the same thing happen, Steve. You know, 20 plus years in insurance and in the corporate world, high pressured sales jobs. You know, you're making six figures, you're thinking, woo, this is awesome, right? But then at some point, it's like, what am I doing? I hate what I'm doing. I never wanted to do this in the first place. And you just do it out of a sense of obligation and fear. You're like, well, I've got to pay the bills, and I've got to do this, and I've got to do that. So you put up all these reasons why you should continue being miserable, and you justify it. And it's like, I got laid off, and it was the trigger, the boot in my behind, that allowed me time to really soul search. And then it just seems so natural to just be who I am, honor what I want to do, and it shifted all of my energy to a new understanding. I no longer feel like I'm being hung out to dry. It's almost like I know that if I want to do anything, I can do it. And so why not just put that energy out there, put that thought out there, and go for it? And it feels like I'm totally supported in it. Like, it's almost like, yeah, you can finally have whatever you want, create your own heaven on earth, so to speak, and don't put any blocks or limits on yourself, because there are no limits. You can have or be whatever you want. So just do it, believe it, and go for it. And it's following that inner guidance, you know? I think people, too, are really starting to tune into their own guides. They're starting to feel their own energy, and really some people are awakening to I had a girl email me the other day who just was told that she was psychic, and she didn't know that, but all of a sudden she realized all along she'd been suppressing it because she came from a family where it was unacceptable, and now she's, you know, kind of coming out of the closet with her psychic abilities, and she's so happy. And I think a lot of people are going through this now, where they're just acknowledging whatever gifts they have, who they really are. And it's wonderful.
You know, and it's happening on both sides of the line. I totally agree with you both. I am finding myself, I'm seeing all kinds of really neat things in ways that I never thought of before. Just like you said, Steve, health, exercise, taking care of myself, meditating more, and really wanting to do that. But also, like I said, seeing certain things as being more alive, coming to realizations or enlightening thoughts that I never really had, that we don't normally grow up with. And so I'm growing, and we're all growing, and we're moving in that direction. And I'm also seeing people grow in the opposite direction, though. It's like polarizing. People are choosing to live in fear or to grow. Oh, well, I don't want to say like, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, the thing about that is, I say this, you know, the world into which we are born is brutal and cruel, and, you know, it can't be, coming out is, and at the same time, a divine beauty. But what we are conceiving of 2012 is what we project onto how it has a direct reflection on how it will manifest. That is that really comes right down to it. So it's up to us. Choice.
Right.
Manifest.
Yeah, I do too. I find that we can either have a great life instead of worrying about it. You know, because same thing happened to me, Rita. I was laid off 3 times, and I finally said to myself, and when you spend so much, when you invest so much in schooling as I did, you know, and you do all that and you're not doing what you went to school for, you kind of have to wonder. But when you're laid off 3 times, you have to wonder.
Right? You start feeling like, what have I done?
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sorry, because my knowledge is, you know, I still apply it, but I had to apply it for something different, and or in different ways. And that was the boot I got, too, is that I had to sit back and say, okay, what's this about? What do I really want? What's really my passion in life? And that's when I just kind of put it all to rest, didn't worry so much, and started following down my own road.
And when you do it, Laura, it just feels so right. I always say to people that, or my belief is that quality of life is something that you actually feel. So you can have as many things as you want, but actually not feel right. And actually, it's when we stop and consider how we feel, how we feel health-wise, how we feel psychologically, that's the indicator of our quality of life. I do think that, you know, I went down a similar route. I studied a lot and worked a lot and realized that, you know, I wanted to make some changes. But as I look back, I always realize that everything served me really well. It was all just meant to be. And so when we do feel that we want to make changes in life, I think it's also important to just stop and say, where I am right now is part of the plan, it's part of the journey, and it's just fine. And even if where we are right now is not exactly where we want to be tomorrow, it's still part of the purpose and the plan that will get us
yes.
where we feel we really want to be.
Yes, like that song, God Bless the Broken Road That what is it that brought me back to you or took me back to you?
Oh,
you would
yeah.
kind of think, oh, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. But you're right, that fork in the road is purposeful. I agree.
All right, well, we're getting to the point in the show where we would normally be taking calls, but we're having a little trouble connecting over the phone. So we ask you, if you're listening, to please go into our chat rooms, and you'll be able to ask your questions there. Let's see.
We do have a couple of questions.
Julie and Beth. Julie has one first. And then
okay. All right. Should I go ahead and just read these questions on the air to you guys?
Sure.
All right. Where's Julie's question?
I can help you with that.
I have it up.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Did you guys read it? Do you already have an answer for her?
No. Go ahead.
No.
Okay. All right. Julie's question.
I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Not yet.
Julie says, basically, I have been contemplating on changing my name to my married name, and that would change all of my numbers to a 9, except for my destiny number, which is a 3, and I learned last week that you can be missing numbers, so knowing this, I would like to know if this will be a wise move or not. My name number is a 6, personality is an 8, soul urge is a 7. Does anybody have anything? I don't know if any of you are numerology experts, but just psychically or intuitively, is there any guidance you have for Julie? Anybody, just jump in whenever.
I do. I'm really excited for Julie, because she's onto something really important. I'm interested in numerology. I think it provides huge insight. And I remember when we had Carmen Hara on the show, she was saying that when, you know, she changed her name to Carmen Hara, and the next day she got a book deal, and she just felt as though she became herself. And my guides say that Julie should trust her instinct. You know, we've talked about instinct this evening, and if Julie's thinking about this, if this is something that feels right to her and is important to her, then she absolutely should go ahead, because it's meant to be. And I do think that it'll have a big impact for her. I think it will also particularly change her profession and her work. So if Julie's thinking of a change in work as well, then I think this change of name and change in numerology could be just perfect and very synchronistic. That's what my guides are saying for Julie.
Very good. I would agree with that. It just depends on what you're looking for, Julie, and what your goals are. So, you know, if you feel that Steve is saying, you know, if you get in touch with what it is you want and the changes that you want, and you feel that that's going to bring those changes, then go for it. Just kind of check in with yourself to see if that is what you want. And I think it will change intuitively. I also feel it'll change, and it'll get the energy moving in a direction to help manifest the kind of things you're looking to manifest in your life. I almost feel like you've been a little... you've tried and it's been a little tough on you, and this may be the very thing that gets the energy moving for you.
Okay. I hope that helps. I wish we could talk to you on the phone so we could hear you say yes or no. But that's all right. We're doing this through chat. That's cool. Let's see. I'm trying to see who might be the next person.
There's another one. I have ones for you.
PTN has one also, but he...
Can you see it? I don't see it.
Yeah, no, he did it separately for me, and I can read it out loud here.
Okay, Maureen, that'd be great.
It's from Gary, and he says, Maureen, I do have a question, but it is for my mother. She is suffering so much and has been for such a long time due to cancer and COPD. It's very sad. Will there ever be a time when she is able to breathe easier? Easier. Bless her heart.
Okay, if anyone has anything for Gary, just jump in.
Thank you, Gary, for sharing that.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, I get something. You know, Gary, and I'll just jump right in. Gary, I do feel that there's somewhat of a justice thing around her being a justice. It's not fair this happened because I don't think that how this came about, because I do know a little bit about the COPD because my mother is having issues, but the cancer situation, it's almost like there is a sense of fair, and there's also a sense of womanly female connection around the home that is really good for her mind. And by doing that, I think it's good for her body. So it's about who we're in, hanging around with around our environment, if you can follow me on that. So, you know, I think that all fairness, I think that she needs to hang in there, and I feel that have good people around her. And no matter what the medical people say, I'm not a doctor, everybody, but I do think the mind and body, our mind is so strong and we can do so much. We can heal ourselves. But, you know, we just haven't gotten to that place yet. But, a womanly figure, like a sisterly or daughterly love and energy around her is very positive. There you have it.
Good deal.
Okay, does anybody else have anything for Gary?
My sense would straight away was that healing is quite possible in this situation. So my guides are encouraging healing and really focusing upon the fact that healing is possible and that we really can make changes with our outlook. So my guy's sending a huge amount of love and healing energy and encouraging those healing thoughts and focus upon healing and turning things around.
Okay, great. Thank you, Steve. We have another question from Beth in our chat room. Beth says, I was approached by my boss to take on a highly political and visible project at work today. Do you think this is a good move for me in my career?
Highly political.
I have something. If you can hear me, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Beth, hi, Beth. I feel that you can handle this, and I think that you're the woman for the job because you have a lot of insight and you're very witty. But you can stand your ground, and it's. I feel that you're a very strong woman. I think this would be a nice, it's almost like I think you're a little bit overqualified for whatever else you were focusing on or whatever projects that he was going on. I get a feeling that you'll make a difference, and even though politically or not, it's like you can make some really great changes or direction with this. I say it's excellent. Move.
Okay, does anybody else have anything for Beth?
Yeah, I do. My guides are saying absolutely it's a wonderful opportunity. It's a very transformational opportunity, so it'll be an incredible experience and will really be a huge stretch assignment, but it'll be one of those assignments that stretches you so much that you gather a huge amount of experience, but you realize you want to do something different with that experience. So my guides are saying that absolutely it's a wonderful opportunity, and it will be very intense but extremely exciting and a massive learning experience. And after about 15-16 months in that opportunity, you'll make some very big changes in your working life and take a very different direction. They also say that it's very probable that there will be a relocation around that time of 15-16 months as well, but they give the green light. It really is a wonderful opportunity that will lead to some many different things that you're not necessarily even thinking of or imagining right now, but it's extremely exciting.
I also get, I'm sorry, this is Allura. I want to let you know that I also get that it will be stretching you. It will be something that helps you to grow. So if you're wanting a challenge and you're wanting to grow, Yes, that would be good for you.
Okay. Well, Beth, I hope that that helped you and that you found some good, solid guidance there. I know that my sense is that it is the right thing. I just get that feeling that it's the right thing for you and that more good is coming your way. So that's awesome. Do we have any other questions in the chat room?
Yes, sorry to keep asking you guys, but we do. We do. Okay. We got them. We're taking care of it.
All right. Who's next?
Kay. He or she goes by Kay, and Kay is asking, talking about life paths, I want to see where my career path will end up. Right now, I'm planning on doing nursing. So, how do you see Kay's nursing plans working out?
All right, just jump in, anybody who's got anything.
I'm happy to read, guys. Sorry, Maureen, I didn't want to interrupt. You
no,
go ahead,
okay.
Maureen. I didn't hear the question. My sound cut off. So you go ahead, Maureen, and I'll pick up on the question from what you say.
Okay, well, that could be wrong. I feel this is a really good time for you to be getting some people, you know, when they get into the study mode or learning mode, you're like a sponge. I see you like a sponge. It's just everything is going to be really... You're going to just soak everything in. It's a really good time. I see you as a student and really into it. And it's a really good connection and it's a better time. And it's coming after a time where you've been hurt in the heart. It looks like it's already happened, but I think it's extremely promising. Anything that you want to do, whether it be nursing, any type of studying or learning, this is a perfect, the timing is perfect. And I see you really doing well, and you get everything really well. Like a sponge, SpongeBob. It's a really good time.
I did see her also, like, as a nurse, walking halls in a hospital, carrying, like, a clipboard and being in kind of a position of authority almost, like checking on other people. So it may lead to even some kind of a nurse-manager position in the future. It looks good. Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, just quickly, based upon what you just said, my guides are saying absolutely that there's an intention to take things much further. So I feel as though it really is the right field. But I see that clipboard, and my guides was also showing me lots of books and saying that this will go beyond nursing to actually becoming a doctor, because they're showing me surgery as well.
Wow.
So a wonderful gift there.
Very cool. All right. I think we're doing great here in the chat room. This is kind of interesting, huh? We just spot them out there, read them. And
yes. I have another one. I'm sorry. That's
okay,
what I've
go
been
for
kind
the
of
next
gathering them, which is why I'm not doing too much talking. I've been watching for
whatever
we
need. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry. It's,
yeah, I apologize. I'm happy. You guys are awesome. All of you.
PTN had one a while ago that... But Katie, on PTN side, could you retype it, please?
Yeah, Katie, I have one from Katie on the other side. I don't know if it's the same Katie, but my life has been in circles for the last 2 years. Different person. My life has been in circles for the last 2 years, and I'm looking for some direction. What changes do I need to make? And I'm very interested in my past life experiences. Actually, Katie, those are very, very broad and involve a number of questions. So what we need you to do is focus on one question and be very specific, if you would. When you say my life has been in circles for the last 2 years and I'm looking for some direction, what do you mean? In your career, your finances, what exactly are you talking about? Because we really need, we could go down many different roads with that. So we're going
be,
to need some a little more,
be more
focus.
Specific. Yeah, if you can be specific, it helps us really point right into the direction that we need to go with the energy.
Now,
so.
Yes. Chris is also asking a question about their past life. I'm interested in my past life, especially my health and relationships. We may need to take one or the other, depending on the length of time we have, but they're asking about their past life with regard to health and relationship. Can you give us what you want to know about your health and relationship in connection with your past life, Chris? Because we need... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I lost everybody. I didn't be so quiet.
Yeah, it did go very quiet.
I keep on seeing Egypt, actually. As you guys meant to talk of past lives, I'm being taken straight back to Egypt. I'm seeing a lady with very dark hair, and definitely in Egypt. I don't know what you guys are picking up, but that's the way the direction my guides are taking me in when we mention past lives.
That's good.
Let's see. Who else do we have out here? Is Katie narrowed it down to relationships?
Yes. Yes, I have something about the past life thing, which is interesting because, I don't know, I never really focus on that. But what I wanted to say that's important for you, Chris, is that prayer, reverence, your spiritual life, and so forth is something in your past life, in a past life. When I say that, you could have had a bazillion past lives, but for whatever reason, Spirit is bringing forward this particular message regarding a past life or an aspect of a past life, that needed more focus. It could be that you were persecuted. It could be that for your beliefs. It could be that you didn't focus on it enough. Maybe you were more into material things. They're not showing me that, but they are saying that that side of you really is important to be focused on because it has something to do with a past life connection as well as your growth. We're all going through that right now, but I just want to share that with you.
Okay, so looks like we have another question that came in. It's from Hoa. She says, "Hi, everyone. My daughter, Nee, is 19, never had a boyfriend. She worries so much of finding the one. I just want to provide some kind of comfort. Do you guys see anything in her love life?"
I do, absolutely. My guides are talking about 7 months. They're saying that she's really so much more beautiful, alluring, and interesting than she realizes or gives herself credit for. It's almost as though the view that she has of herself is very different to the view that everybody else has of her and that Spirit have of her. She has beautiful eyes and beautiful hair and just so much to offer the world and her partner, and it's really through believing in herself and raising her confidence that the energy will change. But things are just perfect right now. There should be study as well at the moment, and a focus upon study and pursuing the right purpose and things will just unfold very well. But my guides absolutely give me the number 7, and they say that number repeats 3 times. So they say that the month of August is significant for a lady in spirit connected, and also the 7 is important because 7 months from now there is a new relationship, and 7 is just a significant symbol or sign in life from the spirit world as well. So when you see the number 7, just accept it as guidance that you are going in the right direction.
You know, I get something interesting in what Steve said about the way she looks. I see her eyes are incredibly, really fascinating to me, and she has a vision. She loves water. It looks like water. Anything to do with water, like, you know, singing in the rain, baths, and being around water. She's very reflective, and she can see a lot into the future. And I feel that she's had some bad news and such, like, not all that great. But she's a particular woman that will need a particularly really fine, authentic individual. And I have a feeling, as well as what Steve said, it will be, you know, I get the feeling it will be into the September time period. I don't know how many months that is, maybe a little bit longer than what Steve said, but it's after a delay of a move or some sort like that. But she's a lovely, lovely girl.
I got this, like, kind of, sometimes when I usually connect with my angels and I ask them to just give me whatever messages. And for her, they said sweetness takes time to ripen. So they and this, what they're referring to is a relationship with someone who is going to be sweeter than she could have imagined. So the holdup has been taking the time to develop the right person, and he is coming. It's just, again, she was not to be soured with any fruit that was not ready. And so they want her to understand that this has been in her path, in her chart for a reason, and that was to allow her the appreciation and the beautiful sweetness of the later bloom. That's what they say. So you do have this beautiful relationship coming, and it's something that you're going to really cherish because it's been in the making for quite some time. So it's beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. Very loving.
I also see, well, one, I'm a little different from everybody here. Not that things are going to be not good, but that it's really the focus that I'm being given is that, as Steve said, she doesn't really realize how beautiful she really is. And that is part of the issue for her. She's very young. It's really important for her to realize there's plenty of time. And if she really starts laughing, having fun, realizing that, you know, statistically, the odds are that she would not be with somebody, you know. And she most definitely will find somebody, and kind of moves out of that fear mode, she can actually start relaxing, enjoying herself, and that is part of the allure. And so peace of mind is going to be very key for her. And if she will do that and just kind of realize that she almost can't not have somebody, that's the way I'm kind of feeling it, especially at 19. She will find somebody, but she wants to find a person who not stress herself out over it. That's really what I'm seeing, is that just go out and have a good time, just to have faith and know that she's beautiful. She's going to find that person. She's got a lot of beauty to her, and that it's going to happen. It's just like it is. So not to worry, just have fun. I do have a question from UK that came through, and I wanted to give that to you if I may.
Okay.
She's asking, is my mother clear of cancer?
This is Katie, right?
Yes.
Right,
okay.
No. Is it Katie? I see
Katie
UK.
Katie on the PTN. Is it Katie,
yes,
on the PTN side? Because we saw
one of the things you will... You will have to do, because when it comes to this sort of question, Katie, we have to, of course, let you know that your mom, I don't know if she's going to doctors right now or not, but she will have to check and really clear that with the doctors.
We're not doctors, yeah.
Yeah, we really can't give medical, kind of really, we can look into it and see what we see, but she really needs to be checked by the doctors, because we're just not licensed medical people. So I just want to let you know that.
But you know, our prayers go out to you.
Yes.
And we hope that she is cancer free and will hold the highest intention for the.
I get something for her. You know, Katie, I do get a good feeling that she's energized in her batteries right now. She feels like it looks like she's feeling much better. There's more energy around her. So that's a very good indication. She needs to stay away from the likes of others.
Yeah, I get the same thing too. That actually, I was just going to, after saying that, I wanted to take a look at things. I am getting it. She needs better company, and or to keep better company. I'm not sure if that's, but something, she needs better environment or people around her. So that is one thing I do want to let you know, and that's going to be very important for her, Katie.
So maybe some more positive people around to give her encouragement, things like that.
And she's feeling better. Yeah. I see that she has gotten some more energy, like her batteries are recharged, like, you know, not jump started, but recharged.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So that could be like, you know, a recovery mode of some sort, getting recharged. Oh, that's great. That's great. Let's see now. We only have a few minutes left, and I think we might have somebody on the phone. Do we have someone on the phone? I don't know. Do we have anybody else left in chat with questions?
I don't think I'm seeing something from Katie, but I'm not sure. Hang on. She's coming through. Her mom passed last year, and...
I think there's two different Katies.
Oh, me. Oh.
Because yeah. She says, I'm sorry, that's not me. Oh, but there's somebody over on the other side whose name is
Katie. Yeah, there's another Katie. Yes, I apologize. We have two chat rooms, and you can only see the one that you're in. So it's another Katie, not to worry.
Yes, don't worry. All right. We'll have to finish up with chat. If there isn't anybody, is there anybody else out there asking questions? I'm trying to move my little viewer here.
Not that I see.
All right. Well, you know what? We're going to have a really, really cool show next week. And Maureen, I don't know a whole lot about telekinesis and psychokinesis.
Yeah.
Can you give us a little teaser on what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I'll teaser. Yeah, actually, this is very interesting for me personally because this is like coming full circle for me because my personal experience, how I'm even here today, had to do with some very tormented PK, my PK experiences all through life, and I started researching a lot of. I didn't have computers in the 80s. It was late 80s. I didn't have a computer. A lot of us didn't, I don't think. So I would go to the library for 5 hours. I was trying to figure out what was going on with me. It was devastating. Mm-hmm. I was sick. I ended up finding information on that came from J.B. Rhine, this man who did some research in 1930s on they call it psychokinetic activity, also known as PK. And fascinating, from that book, it really helped me thrive on. There's a lot, of course, in between that. But what happened was I did do some research up at UCLA at that time. But J.B. Rhine will always stand in my mind forever because it was his, after researching, I didn't know what was happening. Like I said, I found this man and his name. So here we have it. Now my guest, and this is so cool because my guest next week is Sally Feather Rhine. And she is the eldest daughter of Dr. J.B. Rhine.
Cool.
This is great. And I am just, he was the father of ESP research. In fact, he coined the word ESP. And this, so like I said, it was at Duke University, North Carolina. And he's also considered to be the father of modern parapsychology. So, and as well as his wife, Dr. Louisa Rhine. And they had studied the phenomena and known today as a parapsychology, and they started at Duke University. And they, what's so neat about this is that at that time period, 1927, 1930, it was very odd. people came out of him. So he adopted the term parapsychology. He was the guy behind it. And so, excuse me. So the thing of it is, they began conducting PK experiences in 1934 at Duke University. So Dr. Sally Feather Rhine will be my guest, and she. Also, I want to make a mention that her father was the one who brought about the Zeller card, ESP cards. He was the one who was responsible for those.
Oh, yeah,
this has a lot of history. If people haven't
heard of that. That's great, though. Oh, my God, that's going to be so cool.
Yeah, so she and her siblings served as test subjects in the earliest child ESP experiments conducted at the lab. So she she's now, she's an elder. She's, older now, and... So I'm really excited about her joining us, and she's also, I wanted to let people know that she's also the executive director at the Rhine Research Center, and she's currently is working on a research grant on the phenomena of spontaneous PK, which was what was going on with me at the time. So that's what we have to look forward to, and I'm really excited about her, and she's lovely. And like I said, her parents have long passed away in 1980, but she's carrying on the center, and a lot of people have heard of the Rhine Center, but
it's so well known, Maureen. When I lived in the UK, I used to read about the Dr. Rhine and the Rhine Center, known all over the world. I mean, and what an amazing guest, what an incredible family. It's a fantastic subject. I'm so interested in telekinesis, so it sounds just brilliant.
The thing of it is, in Rhine's view, clairvoyance and telepathy are sensory types of phenomena, so affecting mind and PK. So what I liked about when I found him, his opinion, the existence of one implies the existence of the other. And he maintained that they are closely related. So when I did some research at UCLA, it was like there was a sense of ESP with my PK stuff. It wasn't like poltergeist, those kind of things. But we'll get more into that, you know, on the show. I'm going to be talking to her about that. But he really did a great service to all of us now to talk about to the other guests what they're talking about.
That's great. Well, I don't mean to interrupt, but we do have one. I think there's one more.
We have three questions. We have three questions from.
All right. Well, we have 5 minutes left in the show. Okay. We have three questions. So, who's first?
Okay, Chris. Chris is interested in a gentleman. Should she pursue him or not? Is he interested in her?
Chris. Okay.
I say yes. I say it's all good. I'm getting some really good energy about this. I really am. And I also think that you're manifesting what you've been asking for, a good person. And I think that you've been getting it. You manifested from what's above you to your physical world. It looks like you're going to be very, very happy. It's a different type of person. It's good. You've done good. You've done a lot of work on yourself, obviously. But it's good.
They're showing me somebody like a almost like a male model with a suit on. You know how they spin around with their suit and they pose and charm. So he's going to be kind of a charmer, I think, this guy. He's going to kind of make you feel like, woo, like having a good time. He's going to be fun. He's going to be fun and very charming. So, yeah, go for it.
Ready for the next one?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Katie is asking, is Gus going to get better? Now, does Gus have a health issue, or I'm not sure what this is in relation to. If it's a health issue, again, we'd have to direct you back to a medical doctor, but we can look and see what we see. See what spirit has to say about it.
So the question is Gus going to get better?
Going to get better, yes.
All right, what do you guys get for her?
I get a yes, and my guides are talking about the back. They're saying that part of his problem is actually to do with his spine, and you know the spine is connected to the whole body, and it's our central nervous system. And my guides are saying that the issue resides in the spine and can be fixed through the spine. So that's what I'm getting, but I feel positive about the future.
I feel, Katie, that it really is going to depend on his will and his willingness to get better, and that's basically what I get.
There's another question. She left. I think she left.
Yes, there is another one.
On PTN.
Anna L. Yeah. She wants to know if she's moving north or south.
Who got north? Anybody get north?
I got north.
Everybody got north, didn't we? Yeah. I saw like north, north, north. Like everybody all at once kind of got north, right? Isn't that cool? I love this stuff. I think you're going north, Anael. What kind of question is that? Where am I going, north or south?
I'm not really sure I see a move yet. I
just got the word north.
You know, I get that she's going completion. She's going back to completion where she was before. So whichever, I don't know if it's north or south, but it is a completion.
Yeah, I do get and actually one of the things I did see was a northerly direction, but it wasn't definite. And that's what I wanted to say. So it's very possible. I don't know if you're not moving at all, or I don't know if there's still more of a decision you need to make. But these all could be different aspects of the same answer. So anyway, that's what I got.
Well, I hope that helped, and we're coming down to our final 30 seconds, so I guess we'll wrap up. This brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. I'd like to thank my co-hosts and our executive producer, Doug, for being so supportive. Of course, next week we'll be back with a wonderful show anchored by Maureen. We already talked about what that's going to be about.
Yes,
and it sounds really interesting. I know. I can't wait. That's going to be awesome. So we want to thank you all, co-hosts, if you want to say goodbye to our listeners.
Okay.
Say
yes,
goodbye.
Thank you for being with us tonight, everyone. God bless, and have a great week.
Absolutely. I think if you want to say aloha, sayonara.
I would. So I'll say, what can I say? I'll say namaste. But thank you for a wonderful show, Rita. It was fascinating.
Yeah, oh, great. Absolutely.
And bless everybody's hearts and their family's hearts, too. Okay.
And yeah. For me, I wish you all the best. Thank you again for being with us tonight. We hope you join us next week. And many blessings and much love to you all. Have a wonderful weekend.